Our study tonight is out of Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 to chapter 4, verse 1. Stability in heeding God's callings in the workplace. Today's unsettling, insecure world has led many believers to become unsettled and insecure. So in contrast to today's world, we believers need to focus on the stability and the security that we have in our Lord. Colossians presents Christ's all-sufficiency and supremacy in ways that settle and provide security. And one way it does is teaching a believer stability by heeding God's callings in the workplace. It does this in Colossians 3:18 to 21 and also to chapter 4, verse 1. Globalization and the rise in government regulations has greatly affected stability in today's job markets. Exposing a great need for the instruction on this passage. So what we're doing is viewing Colossians chapter 3, 18. I should have said to 4, 1, not 21. I apologize for that. I'll have to get into the computer and correct that. At first, I was just going to go through the end of the chapter, but then I realized that in chapter 4, verse 1, actually deals with the masters. So that the whole section, they actually... they should have had the chapter 4 start at verse 2. But anyway, so be it. Well, stability in heeding God's callings in the workplace. Let me read the passage and then we'll look at it. Colossians 3, 22 to 4, 1. Servants or slaves, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do heartily as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that does wrong shall receive for the wrong that which he has done, and there is no respect of persons, that is, with the Lord. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master who is in heaven. Okay, Paul's address to slaves and masters in Colossians 3:22 to 4:1 alludes to the institution of slavery. But since that institution involved an economic relationship, it has application to functions in today's workplaces. I know we don't have slavery today, but there's a similar type of relationship when a person works for an overseer or an employer and a boss. You're working for someone who has authority over you, and you're supposed to do what he directs that you do. And in return for that, you get remuneration, you get paid. A slave would be paid in that the master was responsible to take care of his clothing, his food, and his housing, and the slave would do everything else. So there is an economic relationship that's similar, so we can apply that. So Paul told slaves, or you can say employees, to heed God's calling in their role in the workplace for stability. Employees must obey their overseers in the workplace and all things related to the workplace. You notice how I clarified that. Paul very qualified these overseers to be overseers according to the flesh. Why? Because only Christ is the master of one spirit. So your employer doesn't have authority over your spirit. Your employer doesn't have the right to direct what you should do with your heart and your belief system or anything like that. In fact, there are laws in our country. You know, employers are supposed to respect religious rights and so forth. But your employer does have the requirement to direct you in regards to your job. I'll never forget years ago, I had a young man that always tried to witness on the job, and instead of doing his work, he would be spending his time witnessing. And his unsaved employer got on his case, and he said, "Look, I didn't hire you to testify about your faith. I really don't care if you do testify about your faith or not. But if you're testifying in your faith and you're not doing the job that I paid for you to do, how then can I hire you? I need you to be protective to do your job so that I can pay you and make it worth my while." And you know, the employer had a right. He wasn't a Christian, but nevertheless, he was hiring the Christian not to witness. He was hiring the Christian to work. If he happened to be a witness while he was working, the employer didn't mind that, but he didn't want him to witness instead of working. So, you know, when our employer hires us to work, he wants us to work. That's otherwise, it's not cost-effective for him. So the employee is required of God to submit to the orders of the overseers in the workplace as it relates to the workplace, not to his Christian faith. Employees must also submit to their workplace overseers not only when the overseers are watching them so as to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart, regardless if the overseers are watching or not watching. For employees are ultimately accountable to the Lord for their work in the workplace. You notice verse 22, not with eye service, not with pleasing them only when they're around, but in singleness of heart, revering the Lord. In a very real sense, when you're on a job, you're actually working for God. Because if it weren't for God, you wouldn't have been able to get the job anyway. Especially if the employer is unsaved or it's a secular company and so forth. The only openings we have in these jobs is from the Lord. So we're really serving the Lord. But you know, even if we're working for an employer who does know Christ as his Savior, or if our immediate overseer is a believer, we're still working for the Lord. It's God's job. And we'll look at that in a little bit. In truth, an employee works for God. So God reimburses him according to his workmanship. Notice verses 23 and 24. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. Even on the job, you serve the Lord. Now, Paul charged employees to perform what their work assignment was with all their heart, as to the Lord, not just to overseers in the workplace. His reason is revealing. God rewards the employee for his workmanship, ultimately doing so at the judgment seat of Christ. You remember in 1 Corinthians 3, 13 and 14, the day shall require, the day will expose, in other words, the judgment day of the Lord will expose the works that we do as to what quality they are. And they'll be tested by fire. And if they survive the fire of God, then we'll receive a reward. If they don't, then the works will be burned up, but we'll be saved so as by fire. But you know, there, Psalm 62, verses 10 through 12, also teaches that God rewards a man in this life according to his workmanship, that one should not trust in oppression or robbery, but work as unto God for his temporal rewards in this life. This was a shock to me the first time I read this, but I went back through it, especially in the Hebrew text, and it's pretty clear. Let me get it out. Psalm 62, verses 10 through 12. Trust not in oppression, become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. God has spoken once, twice I've heard this, that power belongs to God. The word power can now also be translated buying power, financial power. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you pay back to every man according to his work. And the work here is the workmanship. God will see to it. If you're in the job that God wants you to be in, and you're doing the job that you should be as unto the Lord, you don't have to worry about whether you're being noticed by your employer or not, or whether the employer is fair or not. God's going to see to it that you get reimbursed. Now, his reimbursement may be interesting. You may be on that particular job because he wants you to build up a resume. But then he's got another job around the corner that, you know, is 33% higher in salary. And you're going to get that with the resume that you got. So that's how he's going to pay you back. Or he may pay you back with a special bonus. Sometimes a boss feels really good about you and he wants to give you a bonus. So all of a sudden at Christmas, $300, whatever. But you never know. But God will pay you back. Conversely, God impartially punishes the employee who practices what is wrong in the workplace, working only to please his overseer when the overseer is looking, instead of working with all of his heart and a sense of accountability to the Lord. Similarly, Paul told masters or overseers, and you can also say employers, as the case may be, to heed God's calling for their role for workplace stability in chapter 4, verse 1. Masters, give to your servants, or overseers, give to your employees that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have an employer who is in heaven. Having addressed the employee in the subordinate role first, Paul then turned to the workplace overseer, directing him to give deliberate care, that's what the Greek word says, for the employee with what is right, dikaion, and equitable, isoteta. So that which is morally right and that which is equitable, that which is fair. Now the motivation for this directive is the overseer's awareness that he also is accountable to the Lord in heaven for how he functions in the workplace on the earth as an overseer. That's something always good to keep in mind. An overseer is responsible, or an employer or a boss is responsible to God for how he treats his subordinates. And God will either reward him or withdraw the reward from him based upon how he is dealing with his subordinates. Now, since Paul had clarified how God is also the master over believing employees in Colossians 3:23-25, we can apply that same passage to workplace overseers to understand God's oversight of overseers. In other words, overseers in the workplace are to perform their duties with all their hearts as accountable to the Lord, not to function towards subordinates as those who are subject just to themselves. That's something to keep in mind. I am responsible. I'm accountable to God for how I'm treating people who are under me. Very important. And then the reason for this directive is that God rewards the overseer for his workmanship, ultimately doing so at the end of this life in the judgment seat of Christ, but also in this life. You got Psalm 62:10-12. It's interesting. I've had overseers or business owners talk to me, and often they'll talk to me about interesting relationships they have with subordinates or employers or whatnot. And of course, as an employer or as an overseer, you're looking at the whole job. You're looking at the productivity of the people within the job, different people with different skill levels and so forth, different levels of self-discipline and so forth, and you have to be careful how you deal with that. But it's very interesting. Conversely, God impartially punishes the overseer who wrongly mistreats his subordinates instead of treating them righteously and fairly or equitably in accountability to the Lord. Knowing, and just applying verses 24 and 25 of chapter 3, knowing that the Lord, of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done. And there's no respect of persons. God is incredibly objective and impartial when it comes to dealing with us. So we need to be real careful to heed the Lord. So for stability in the workplace, believing employees must submit to their overseers in matters related to the job with full motivation as to the Lord, realizing they are ultimately accountable to God for their workmanship, and workplace overseers and employers must give deliberate care for their subordinates, doing what is right, what is equitable to them, and accountability to the Lord, realizing they are ultimately accountable unto God in their role. So, may we as believing employees or as believing overseers or employers in the workplace recall that God is watching how we perform there and that he holds us accountable to him for how we function on the job. Boy, this had applicant. When I was preparing the morning sermon, the sermon that I presented this morning, I had originally gotten about 6 or 7 points, but it just kind of bothered me. I felt that I should put some more points down because the subject was important. I knew it had application in my own life, so I did. I worked at it and worked at it and worked at it. Well, I kind of came to the point where the idea of thrift was there, and I wanted to get a Bible verse for thrift. And I thought, thrift, where in the world? I don't even think if you look at Strong's Concordance, you're going to find the word thrift. Where in the world am I going to get a verse for that? So I actually blurted out loud. I said, I was trying to find a verse in Proverbs. Where in the Word of God, where am I going to find a verse on thrift? And I had no sooner asked that question than out of the blue, I wasn't thinking about the Lord and the feeding of the 5,000, none of that. Out of the blue, the Lord's words to the disciples, pick up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And I thought, oh no, that's out of John 6 somewhere. I don't know what it was. So I looked at it up. I'm sure it's John 6:12, and there it is. and it's thrift by the Lord Jesus. And it was a weird feeling. I suddenly realized God's looking over my shoulder. I'm here preparing this message, typing away, but God's looking over my shoulder. And he wanted me to expand. That's probably laid upon my heart. He wanted me to expand the points. But on the issue of thrift, when I had a question about it, I blurted it out, so he put it right in my mind. There it is, Don. Okay. And it was a weird feeling recognizing that the Lord was just like the boss. I used to have bosses that would stand and watch right behind your shoulder, watching every move you made. And I got the feeling God was standing right behind my right shoulder here watching what I was doing and saying, okay, get that verse down and type it in. It's just amazing, but we all work for the Lord. You know, we might have a job trimming some plants somewhere because we're working for a farmer. We might be working in a carpentry activity, or we might be working in the house, baking something, cooking something, or cleaning the floors or something. Or maybe we're out shopping because we want to get food or something for the house. And it's part of our task, or part of our calling. That's important. It's important to God. And how we relate to other people in that setting is extremely important to the Lord. So he's watching us, and he will alternately either reward us or withdraw the reward based upon how we function. So may God help us to take our roles in the workplace seriously, because they're important.